Do you ever feel like you're struggling to keep your head above the water? Like you're treading water, yet feeling the strength fade and ebb out of you? Every second counts in the tug of war between your ebbing strength and your push to keep your mouth above the surface. The alternative is drowning. In Psalm 69, David feels like he's drowning with nobody to save him. Nobody except God. Verse 1, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths, where there's no foothold. I have come into deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out for calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." Deep waters, miry depths, and floods. Israel was prone to flash floods from heavy rains draining off the hills that created a torrent of floodwaters that could sweep you away in a moment. David is being swept away by a flood, but not a flood of literal water. Verse 4, "Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal." So the flood is actually David's enemies, those who hate David without reason and seek to destroy him. Forced to restore what I did not steal. We don't know exactly what David means by this, but David is powerless as the hatred of his enemies rise like waters around him and sweep him away. Skip ahead to verse 8 to hear David describe his situation. "I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards." David's own family are ashamed of him. "I am a foreigner to my own family. Nobody wants anything to do with him." It's like he's being canceled. We've all seen how fast that can happen to someone on a social media platform. Overnight, the flood of tweets and abusive comments sweep their reputation, their livelihoods, and sometimes their very lives away in a mere matter of moments. But why? What did David do? Verse 9, "For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me." Somehow, David is being persecuted by those who hate God. He doesn't know what he's done, but he goes from being flavor of the month to persona non grata instantly. And it's not that he's innocent, as he confesses in verse 5. "You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you." In other words, I'm guilty, but not of what they accuse me of. David has his faults, God knows, but he's being falsely accused, and he's drowning as those accusations and gossip from those who hate God hate on David. He prays that the collateral damage from this flood doesn't spread to others in verse 6. "Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face." Back to David. He's still drowning. Time is of the essence. So he prays in verse 13. "But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor and your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy. Turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Do not hide your face from your servant. Everybody else was hiding from David, ostracizing him. But David knows he can't take that from God. Verse 13 tells us why. In your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. And again in verse 16, answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your love, and in your great mercy, turn to me. Unlike the love of people, God's love for you and I never changes. It's not dry one moment, then a flood the next. God's love is a steady stream that you can rely on. David continues his prayer for God's mercy in verse 18. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. Coming near is the opposite of hiding your face. David needs God to be close. Verse 19. You know how I am scorned, disgraced and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. Have you ever had your heart broken by the confusing hatred of other people? David circling the whirlpool of their hatred in the pool of his own hurt. And looking up, he sees if anyone else will help. Verse 20, I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Perhaps you've caught it by now. This actually sounds like Jesus. David the poet is now prophetic. More than any other psalm, Jesus quotes Psalm 69 the most. And is it any wonder? He came to his own, and they received him not. The crowd that shouted, "Save us" on Palm Sunday, cried, "Crucify him," 4 days later. Like David, Jesus knew what it was to be hurt and rejected. He knew what it was to be unjustly hated and canceled overnight. Jesus went to this psalm repeatedly for comfort, and the disciples frequently quoted to explain what was happening to him in the Gospels. But then in verse 22, David goes from drowning in deep miry waters to seeing them as the ones drowning. When God rescues him, it will be them that sink. Verse 22, may the table set before them become a snare. May it become a retribution and a trap. You can read David's description of their sinking in verses 23 through 28, but let's continue back to David's prayer for himself in verse 29. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. David wasn't able to get to the temple, but he could still sing. He could still bring God glory by singing and thanking him. And David says, this will please the Lord. God is pleased when you worship him, when you sing to him. It's a way of showing your love and gratitude back to him. I think of our praise in the same way I now see a handmade card to light my wife when our kids draw in color pictures and give it to her. Admittedly, they're not frameable works of art, but they get hung in the center of our home with pride because they're expressions of love. As David prepares to end his hymn, it ends on a high note in verse 33. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Are you needy? God hears you. Are you captive, stuck, trapped, caught in a flood, unable to stop the hatred, the accusations, the cruel words, attacks, and gossip that others speak? The Lord hears. Others may despise you, but David says the Lord does not despise his captive people. He loves them, he hears them, he rescues them. And that means that he loves you. He hears you. And although he may not stop their cruel words as the floodwaters rise, he can raise you up out of it and fill the void created by their hatred with his love.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.